Welcome to My Cousin Jane, a podcast about Jane Austen and her works, with your host, Lee Phelan. Welcome back to another episode of My Cousin Jane. Each week, we look at what you might think of as the behind-the-scenes featurettes or deleted scenes of a particular chapter in Jane Austen's books. And this week, we're going to be talking about Pride and Prejudice, Chapter 4. In the fourth chapter of Pride and Prejudice, we have Jane and Elizabeth discussing the events of the ball, and especially the behaviors and relative merits of Mr. Bingley and Mr. Darcy. But then, about halfway through the chapter, Austen switches points of view, and we move from Elizabeth's point of view to a sort of omniscient point of view, where we learn some of the backstory about Mr. Bingley and his family. So, two quick notes about Mr. Bingley's sisters. First, we have Caroline Bingley. She's single and is usually referred to in the novel simply as Miss Bingley, but sometimes as Caroline. And the second is Mrs. Louisa Hurst, who's married to a man known only as Mr. Hurst. And Caroline, of course, is a major antagonist in the novel, though Louisa participates in her scheming occasionally. Mr. Hurst doesn't really play much of a role in the story, and he's only mentioned in passing a couple of times. Speaking of Miss and Mrs., let's talk briefly about the forms of address used with women that did not have titles of nobility. What we refer to as someone's first name or given name was in Regency England referred to as their Christian name, because it was the name given to them at their christening when they were a baby. Their last name or surname would generally be referred to as their family name. For married women without a title, the address was usually Mrs., followed by their husband's family name. This was the address used by both men and women outside of the family, and even most of the time by the woman's husband, especially while in public. One exception was that close female friends might address a married woman just by her Christian name. For unmarried women without title, the rules were a bit more complicated. The eldest unmarried daughter was referred to as Miss, followed by the family name. For example, references to Miss Bennet in the novel usually refer to Jane, as she's the oldest unmarried Bennet daughter. The other unmarried daughters of the family were addressed as Miss, followed by their Christian and family names, or Miss followed only by their Christian name if people are speaking more casually, but never by just their Christian name, except in cases of young men who've recently had their proposals accepted. For example, Elizabeth is usually referred to outside her family as Miss Elizabeth Bennet or Miss Elizabeth. The rules for untitled men were a bit simpler. To pretty much everyone except their close male friends, they were simply Mr. followed by their family name. Close male friends would usually refer to them just by their family name. So you would have Mrs. Bennet referring to Mr. Darcy and Mr. Bingley, but Mr. Darcy would not say Mr. Bingley, he would just say Bingley. And likewise, Mr. Bingley would just say Darcy. All right, let's transition a bit and listen to this clip about the Bingley sisters' upbringing.
They were, in fact, very fine ladies, not deficient in good humour when they were pleased, nor in the power of making themselves agreeable when they chose it, but proud and conceited. They were rather handsome, had been educated in one of the first private seminaries in town, had a fortune of £20,000, were in the habit of spending more than they ought, and of associating with people of rank, and were therefore in every respect entitled to think well of themselves and meanly of others.
I want to talk for a minute about the private seminary referred to in this clip. We learn a bit later in the chapter that the Bingley fortune was acquired by trade, which essentially means that they were not part of the landed gentry. However, the idea of appearing as an established family with an estate of their own is evident in the way that the sisters were, quote, very anxious for their brother to have an estate of his own. However, it's unclear from the novel whether or not Bingley's father was the one who acquired his fortune by trade, or whether it was an earlier generation and that Charles's father just never got around to acquiring an estate. I mention this because what this private seminary consisted of would vary a bit depending on the circumstance of the Bingley family during their younger years. It appears from Miss Bingley's later description of what a truly accomplished woman means that she and her sister would have been educated in music, singing, drawing, dancing, and the modern languages. There's a popular Regency women's journal called The Female Preceptor, and it's got a bunch of articles written by and for women. One of the features in the journal is a review of seminaries, private boarding schools that were popping up in different places in England and had vacancies. And these typically start with a discussion of the merits of the housemistress, and that's the title usually given to a woman in charge of a boarding school. Then a description of the house itself is sometimes provided along with its location, followed by the subjects covered and their cost. You can find copies of some of these period reviews in the show notes for this episode over on mycousinjane.com. So if you're interested in reading, head over there and check it out. And while you're there, don't forget to sign up for our awesome newsletter that gives you even more Jane Austen-related news, historical references, behind-the-scenes info, and other great stuff. Let's listen to one more clip about the Bingleys that we've already alluded to a little bit.
They were of a respectable family in the north of England, a circumstance more deeply impressed on their memories than that their brother's fortune and their own had been acquired by trade.
So we talked a bit about this when we discussed the Bingleys' fortune, but the portrait painted of their father is that he was most likely upper middle class, which isn't a term you think of a lot when you think of the Regency era, but during this time period, the idea of this upwardly mobile middle class was pretty common. First, you had these well-to-do tradesmen, like the Bingley family, who had earned a relative fortune through trade, enough to allow them to purchase an estate and transition from tradesmen to landed gentry. This was made easier by the fact that many of the so-called old money families, through a combination of mismanaged estates, poor investments, or extravagant children, find themselves in a situation of being land rich and cash poor, as Mr. Preston remarks in Wives and Daughters. And so they're willing, or sometimes required, to sell off parts of their estate in order to stay afloat financially. We also have soldiers and sailors who become wealthy through the literal fortunes of war, as was the case with Captain Wentworth and many of his officer brothers in Persuasion, which we discussed back in Season 1. And we also have respectable, and otherwise, individuals who marry into money, lifting them instantly from the middle or lower classes into the gentry. And as we discussed, there are some people who look down upon this new money, so to speak. One of the ironies Austen highlights about the Bingley sisters is that while they look down upon such individuals and comment about this later on, they have conveniently forgotten the origins of their own fortune. So that wraps up episode 4 of season 2 of My Cousin Jane. Thanks so much for tuning in today. If you'd like to help support the show, please head over to leefalen.com/mycousinjane, sign up for our newsletter, or click on the little donate button. You can also follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Thanks for listening.